obstacle chair. Finally, Japan supports the Bureau of Recognition that when we discuss the length of the outcome document, we should take into account the limited negotiation time. If we are to achieve consensus on the outcome document within the limited time available between now and June 2012, the zero draft has to be concise and sufficiently brief. There are a number of issues relating to the two themes which require intensive discussion. Therefore, the section on sustainable development has to be shorter than the section on the two themes. Mr. Co-Chair, 2 years have passed since we decided to convene a Rio Plus 20. We have only 6 months until it happens. If we really want to succeed at Rio Plus 20, we have to be realistic. The decisions before us on the format, structure, and length of the outcome document are all very important. Let me reiterate once again, for the sake of the success of the Rio Plus 20, Japan firmly believes that the outcome document should be concise political declaration focusing on two things. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have two more speakers in my list, and strangely enough, we are running out of speaker instead of time. So if anybody wants to, who had the idea to speak in the afternoon, please come forward, and I suggest to speak in the morning session. And I now give the floor to the representative of Canada.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Do I take it from your remarks that the three-minute limit has now been lifted? I'll be very brief. With regard to the structure of the outcome document, Canada very much favors a single document structured in three parts, the objective and the two themes outlined in General Assembly Resolution 64/236. Like many others in this room, we believe the document should be short, concise, focused, and results-oriented. I say concise and focused because my delegation believes that the conference will more likely be considered by all successful if we can focus on four or five key aspirational deliverables or actions which provide clear guideposts for action where there is broad consensus, but which also respect differences in national circumstances across member states and regions. In our intervention yesterday, we identified a number of areas where such clear guideposts, we believe, are achievable with wide consensus. Mr. Co-Chair, thank you very much for your guidance. Thank you.
Thank you. I now give the floor to the representative of Interparliamentary Union.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I apologize if my remarks are more meant to address a couple of the points in the guidance note that was issued yesterday by the Bureau, more than the question of the structure of the outcome document. What I would like to say, first of all, in respect to the question of the international framework for sustainable development, I think one of the great innovations of Rio 20 years ago, everybody will recognize, was the introduction of the major groups as part of the CSD. And while that is certainly, that was a tremendous contribution to the international discourse, as well as to the implementation of decisions of the CSD at the ground level, I think we can argue today that the time has come for, in addition to that structure, to that thinking, by way of parliaments and parliamentarians. I think one of the achievements of Rio next year should be a way of articulating the ways and means in which the voices of parliamentarians can also be brought to the global dialogue here at the UN, and as well as how parliamentarians and parliaments can be mobilized in support of the further implementation of Rio. I think it was argued many times yesterday that one of the reasons for the poor state of implementation today of the Rio commitments was precisely the lack of political will. And I think if we want to really help energize that in national capitals, we need to think of how that other branch of government that is in charge of legislation, in charge of budgets, of the adoption of budgets, can also come aboard. There are, of course, many possibilities here, and I am not going to anticipate what the final framework might look like. But I want to point to some examples here at the UN in which parliaments have been included as stakeholders in various processes. One that will resonate to many of you, perhaps, is that of the multi-stakeholder approach of the Development Cooperation Forum, which we think has been extremely valuable for us in the parliamentary community to understand the way in which certain issues on the aid effectiveness agenda are being addressed, and for us to express here in at the UN how we think Parliament can further contribute to the implementation of the aid effectiveness agenda. There are other examples that one can imagine or build upon. In the case of the CEDAW committee, for example, we are assisting, well, you have a number of countries that come up on a rolling basis for review. We are assisting by making sure that the reports presented by those countries are also shared with the parliament, so that there is a clear link between the discussion here in the committee and the parliament at home. But you can also think, for example, of a structure such as that of the annual ministerial review, where you could argue maybe there is a way for parliamentarians to also be invited as part of the national delegations in a discussion that will look precisely at what are the political bottlenecks at home, why certain things are not being implemented. To conclude on that point, I can say we certainly welcome the notion that the next outcome document should be short, political, and most of all, comprehensible to the average citizen out there, because parliamentarians are not technicians, they are politicians, and the world of politics is precisely driven by such documents. Then, to conclude, I'm sorry if I'm taking time, but you said there is a little extra minute here. I also want to address another issue that was raised in the guidance note yesterday concerning GDP and other measurements of progress from a sustainability perspective. We all agree that GDP is an utterly insufficient way to go in this new age in which we are concerned about the survivability of the planet. And certainly it does not in any way capture the fusion of the three pillars of sustainable development. So we welcome our proposal in that respect will be again to look at what concretely can be done to bring all of the three pillars together at the policy level. And one way we would recommend this committee to look at is the introduction of green budgets. Again, I'm referring to the national budget process, which is something the parliament are very much involved in. And we think it is high time, as some people also mentioned yesterday, that we look at the way in which we can better internalize the economic and social cost to the environment that comes from growth, that is the one standard that's captured by GDP. A typical green budget could attempt to include the value of ecosystem services. This is something that was said yesterday. As well as, of course, the value of it could also attempt to factor in the cost of the loss of resources that is directly linked to economic activity. So I'm going to go
wrap up. Yes. Now it's time for you to wrap up.
I'd like to conclude. I'm just saying there is a very concrete proposal that I'm putting forward, that we have put forward in writing to the Secretariat along these lines, And we look forward to engaging with you all in the next 6 months to try to support it and articulate it better in this room. Thanks so much.
Thank you. 23 representatives have spoken in the morning session, and the list of speakers for this morning has been exhausted. I think mostly thanks to the close cooperation and coordination among representatives, and partly we have a fresh request from the representative. So I now give the floor to the representative of the United States.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And again, I will try to be brief. We are pleased to have the opportunity to add a few additional points on our vision for the Zero Draft and specifically address format and content of the conference outcome. We are joining and repeating some of the comments that others have made, but I think that's useful for the Chair and the Bureau to get a sense of some of the consensus items. First, we join many who have said that the global community should re-energize action on sustainable development through a concise political statement that focuses on high-level consensus messages. As many have underscored, we must look to speak to the millions of average citizens who may not be steeped in international negotiation technical language, but are nonetheless tremendously interested in how we can all work together to pursue a sustainable future. The Zero Draft should identify areas where there is broad agreement on key issues, as many have stated, rather than including a lengthy enumeration of every issue that has been included in submissions. We propose a political statement of no more than 5 pages. We do not see the need for necessarily to have chapters or specific sections. We feel that we can summarize the views of the international community without. Second, countries and stakeholders, as we discussed yesterday, we think should be appended, should develop voluntary non-negotiated efforts and compiled in a compendium of commitments that I discussed at a little bit more length yesterday. This will allow all stakeholders, including private sector NGOs, to bring forward their commitments to achieve sustainable development. It provides the pragmatic, forward-leaning review that we believe the global community expects and hopes for. It will help focus implementation on priority issues with approaches that are tailored to regional needs and meet the particular challenges of groups such as women and youth in a more targeted way. Third, we just think that we must keep in mind that the document should be considered in the context of the entire suite of Rio outcomes, that the document is just one of the outcomes, and that Rio is and should be much more than just about the documentation we discuss. We call for the conference itself to be broadly inclusive with mayors, CEOs, heads of universities, heads of NGOs, scientists, all actively participating in the conference. Finally, we just like to say the Rio 20 outcome is the sum of many parts, and success should be measured not by the number of words or subheadings, but by our ability to inspire a new generation to achieve sustainability. We concur with the intervention by Australia. The document need not replicate and repeat all of the conferences or summits of the past. We should be forward-leaning. We should build on those summits of the past and endeavor to look to new ways to achieve sustainability in the 21st century. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I now give the floor to the representative of Tunisia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. La délégation tunisienne accorde.
The Tunisian delegation attaches particular importance to the discussion ongoing today on the structure and format of the outcome document of the UN Conference on Sustainable Development. Before raising certain points to which Tunisia attaches particular importance, my delegation would like to fully support the statement made by Argentina on behalf of the G77 and China. as well as the statement of the African group and the Arab group. Mr. Chairman, Tunisia considers this discussion to be a crucial stage in the preparation of the Rio Plus 20 conference. My delegation, in this regard, has contributed actively to this process by submitting on time its contributions to the Secretariat in parallel with the statements made by the regional groups to which my country belongs. Concerning the format of the outcome document, we support a targeted document that would be accompanied by a separate action plan with objectives and deadlines that are targeted, as well as means of implementation that are adequate in conformity with General Assembly Resolution 64/236. For the structure of the outcome document, we support the opinion of the G77 and China that it has the following sections: progress and insufficiency in the implementation of sustainable development, and second, the green economy in the context of sustainable development and the eradication of poverty, and third, new and emerging issues, and fourth, institutional framework for sustainable development. On this last point, my delegation emphasizes the need to have institutions and mechanisms that are strengthened at the international level and are capable of developing and financing joint programs that are beneficial to all countries involved. The cooperation that we would like to see on sustainable development in various countries from this point forward should be carried out with the idea that the goal of all such cooperation should be supported by physical and transparent efforts made by the various parties involved. This cooperation must be focused on the three major components: the definition of the goals of the cooperation and the developed concepts, second, the identification of the methodological or technological tools that are needed for their implementation and finance. Viable cooperation that is profitable and therefore sustainable is involved jointly and as a function of the various capacities of those involved to develop these three components. Therefore, the mechanism or the mechanisms for international cooperation that Tunisia would like to see developed so that they can promote sustainable development are those that would be capable of encouraging in a shared and joint way the emergence and identification of programs that would benefit all participants with various positive consequences and that would be profitable. The institutions that would lead this mechanism would therefore have the ability to investigate, coordinate, and to set up programs and projects, and also adequate financing. Mr. Chairman, Rio Plus 20 is a wonderful occasion for us to advance the idea of the green economy and its advantages on the economic, environmental, and social plans. International solidarity that is sustained will be necessary in order to give the needed impetus to sustainable production and consumption. This solidarity will particularly be expressed by the creation of trade and cooperation mechanisms for the better transfer of technology between various countries and particularly between developed and developing countries, and at the level of development of financing mechanisms for innovative and job-creating projects in the domain of the green economy in the context of poverty eradication and sustainable development. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I give the floor to the representative of Namibia.
Thank you very much, Mr. Koche. Namibia still believes that first principle of Rio Declaration on Environment and Development, that human beings are at the center of sustainable development, still relevant. And Namibia still believes that the call for sustainable development made at the UN Conference on Environment and Development in 1992, the World Summit and the Sustainable Development in 2002 remain relevant. Since these major world events, the sustainable development process has mainly been led and spearheaded mainly by governments with limited involvement of private sector. We would like to see engagement of private sector and the other role players in the socio-economic development of our communities. What we need now is, in terms of the structures, is to scale up the means of implementation for sustainable development, make financial available, bolster technical diffusion and cooperation, and build the capacity and the strongly involve private sector in our society in the process of implementing sustainable development initiatives. Overall, the Rio Plus 20 should be about assessing progress towards sustainable development and meeting challenges through action-oriented plan and enhanced means of implementation. As regards to outcome document, we would like to see the document which should be structured in such a way that it should accelerate sustainable development, action-oriented, and encompassing green economic roadmap. It should have policy elements and also having operation or best practice as an annexes. Lastly, Mr. Co-Chair, emerging consensus from Rio Plus 20 preparatory meetings on what green economy should not be include top-down approach to development, a pretext for green protectionism or green development conditionality, and the corporate control of nature. We would like, as Namibia, to have a short and concise, focused document which should be easy to make follow-up and be easy to be implemented by both government and civil society. Thank you very much, Mr. Koche.
Thank you. I now give the floor to the representative of Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Thank you, Chair. It's a great pleasure and honor to address you and to address you all on behalf of Bosnia and Herzegovina on the occasion of the preparation of these very important global events in the world, where the Rio Plus 20 process and sustainable development all over the world will be evaluated and define further steps towards cleaner, greener and sustainable future. As a country with economic transition, Bosnia and Herzegovina associates itself with the statements made by the European Union. At this meeting, we want to emphasize the great importance of UN Conference on Sustainable Development, and it is our pleasure to work together with other countries in the process of preparation of our documents. We want to stress that all the catastrophes that occur around the globe carry the message on the necessity of turning towards the green economy, which will ultimately lead us to sustainable development. We think that human society at present can find the answers to achieve sustainable development only in harmony with nature, which will be defined through the global political documents and with the synergy of three Rio conventions. Any opposite actions lead towards new economy system degradation, ecosystem degradation, and made a huge negative impact on environment and people. We do believe that our message to the world gives enough space to every country to proceed with the implementation of its national goals and achieve success in the global process of the economy towards sustainable development. The challenges of the current economic crisis may slow down the process of support of the developed country to non-developed countries, when addressing the issue of green economy, blue economy, and sustainable development. In our opinion, that kind of support is obligatory and cannot be decreased. We believe that Durban Outcomes has a positive step and gives more chances for further actions in achieving sustainable development goals. We wanted to emphasize that governments and investors need to maximize the benefits to all three of the pillars of sustainable development, which arise from sustainable energy deployment, particularly distributed generation, in the provision of green growth, environmental protection, and the social advantage of substantial local job creation, both temporary and permanent, from the higher multiplier of jobs per units of renewable energy generation. International community and all of the world governments to both access to available sources of scientific knowledge and technological development, and ensure that adequate resources are provided for the rapid expansion into new and further research and development in the science of sustainability and its application. We believe that we should achieve significant progress in order to persuade more than 7 billion people that we are responsible in this process. I wish to all of us success in the process of negotiation outcome documents. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I now give the floor to the representative of Germany.
Thank you, Chair. In full support to what was mentioned by the European Union today and yesterday, we would like to add the following points. We strongly believe that greening our economy provides opportunity for inclusive, equitable, environmentally friendly economic growth and contributes to poverty eradication. A green economy in the context of sustainable development and poverty eradication should provide better access to water, healthcare, sustainable energy and food, ensuring that these resources will be available to current and future generations. The transition to a green economy will be a global challenge for all of us. Carbon emissions, environmental pollution, and depletion of natural capital entail real economic costs, so that continuing on the current growth and development path is both ecologically and economically unsustainable. Therefore, we believe the transition to a green economy in the context of sustainable development and poverty eradication is in the self-interest of all countries. The transformation is a global challenge that requires efforts at both the international and national level. The EU and its member states have proposed a substantive amount of concrete deliverables in their contributions, as mentioned by the EU in the statement today. There are several elements containing inter alia the adoption of a 10-year framework of programs for sustainable consumption and production patterns, and sectoral areas such as fisheries and the marine environment, sustainable management and restoration of natural resources and ecosystem services, sustainable chemicals and waste management, water, food security and agriculture, forestry and energy, sustainable urban development. We have proposed a capacity development scheme that should be designed to support interested countries to overcome these constraints and accelerate the identification, assessment and operationalization of green economy options to create a national incentive framework. This should be voluntary, demand-driven, triggered by the expressed interest of countries, as each country faces a unique set of challenges and has different development goals and different economic priorities. Such a capacity development scheme with input from the United Nations system, international financial institutions, bilateral and multilateral donors, as well as the private sector, would provide country-specific advice in order to accelerate the transition to a green economy. The proposed scheme will flexibly adapt to the country-specific institutional framework, foster coordination, consistency, and coherence between and across existing institutions. Interested countries are matched with a development partner best placed to provide support. There are three priorities in working with business and major groups. Governments must generate policies and regulatory environments that attract investments in sustainable development and green growth. Key here is incentives such as correct pricing, including through phasing out of harmful subsidies. This is essential for sustainable investment and innovation in all countries. In the spirit of Busan, we must invite the private sector to join in the forming of the Rio outcome and in the further dialogue on the right policies for sustainable development. We should encourage companies to commit to measuring and disclosing sustainability practices. In terms of civil society participation, the EU and its member states have been supporting an open and inclusive process, and we reiterate that we wish to express our full support to all the requests made by the major groups to the Bureau as regards their active participation during the negotiations and at the conference itself. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Before I invite our next speaker, does any other delegation wish to take the floor at this moment? I see no further request. And I now give the floor to the representative of Gabon.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My country, Gabon, associates itself at the outset with the statements made by the G77 and China, as well as the African group. We also support the division of Namibia, which was just expressed on the issue of the green economy. Recalling that a roadmap for the green economy has existed since the Libreville Declaration on the Promotion of Biodiversity and the Eradication of Poverty in 2010. We therefore consider that the green economy is a tool that contributes to sustainable development in many countries, particularly in Africa. And we think that the green economy in the context of poverty eradication, as well as many regional and international meetings have shown, should be clearly expressed in the political declaration that we will be subscribing to and adopting at Rio Plus 20. Thank you.
Thank you. We have exhausted the list of speakers for this morning, and I appreciate all the inputs, which will be valuable add to the successful success of the Rio Plus 20. And I particularly appreciate the cooperation given by all the speakers in the morning session with very much a disciplined manner. I'd like to propose that this afternoon's meeting begin at 4 p.m. instead of scheduled 3 p.m. The discussion on the structure and format of the zero draft of the outcome document will continue as in the morning. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.